Okay, here we go. Stand by. 3, 2, 1, action.
Assume nothing.
Rash, bald-faced blasphemy.
Question everything.
I find it extremely hard to imagine.
Open your eyes.
It is quite all right to be an atheist.
The fastest growing group of people in the country has been measured as being those who have no belief or who are atheists.
You don't have to be apologetic or quiet about it.
Challenge the opposition.
You see religion on 100 fronts losing the argument.
And start thinking. This is The Thinking Atheist Worldwide.
Yeah, 2016 was an election year, is an election year. But I'm going to make a pact with you and with myself as your host. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the election as we review 2016. We watched minute by minute the election process, the primaries and the major candidates and the debates. And minute by minute, we're watching all the major headlines. I'm not going to dwell on a lot of that. We're going to talk about some of the big stuff, but I'm just going to bounce right off and talk about a whole lot of other stuff. Some of the major news stories of 2016, some of the more serious stuff. We'll get into some weird news by the end of the broadcast. We'll do some sports and entertainment news and pop culture news and technology news. We're just going to look back from January 1st of 2016 to today, and then we're going to put this year to bed because I don't know about you, I'm freaking ready. And this year has been an ass kicker. This year needs to go away. It just needs to go. Just go. That should be the motto for 2016. Just go. But we'll send it off in style. With a look back at some of the biggest, the brightest, the best, the worst, the wildest, and the weirdest of 2016. With 2016, the year in review. We'll start with some kind of science-y news. It was in January of this year that we saw four new elements added to the periodic table. It's an odd story to lead with, but we're science-y people. The periodic table, of course, providing the fundamentals for all chemistry. Well, there were some blanks in there that they filled. Four blanks, anyway. I'm going to get these names totally wrong, and I've been so busy I didn't bother to look up the phonetic, so crucify me. It's Nahonium, Muscovium, Tennessine, and Oganesson, which sound like realms in Game of Thrones, the way I pronounce them anyway. The scientists are going to crucify me. January of this year, astronomers witnessed via telescope the brightest supernova ever seen by humans, ever. It shone about 20 times brighter than the 100 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy. It's shown as bright as 570 million suns. And this discovery, again, tests our limits. The limits of our understanding about stars and the deaths of stars, and it opened up a whole host of new questions for astronomers. It was in January of this year that Wikipedia celebrated its 15th anniversary. Piece of trivia for you, by the way, if you tried to read Wikipedia, just try to read every word posted on Wikipedia starting today, you would finish in 16 years. And that's if you never stop to eat or sleep or go to the bathroom. 16 years. Massive snowstorm hit us this past January, pounded the eastern United States, Washington, D.C., Delaware, Kentucky, Maryland, New York, Ohio. 42 people died. 42. Some were in car wrecks, some from carbon monoxide poisoning. Several died while they were out shoveling snow. They just had heart attacks and passed out and died right there. The World Health Organization issuing a January warning about the Zika virus. Remember those headlines? Zika was found in 21 countries in the Caribbean, North and South America. The Centers for Disease Control say that the Zika virus is mostly spread via infected mosquitoes. The symptoms include fever, rash, joint pain, headaches, muscle pain. You get red eyes. There's no vaccine for Zika. You just have to pretty much ride it out. Zika is named after the Zika forest. That's where the first human cases were discovered. Now, here's an interesting footnote to the Zika story. In February, Pope Francis again raised eyebrows when he suggested that contraceptives, long forbidden and maligned by the Catholic Church, contraceptives might be a useful tool to help slow the spread of the Zika virus. Contraceptives being useful and helpful? Go figure. Remember those two members of the anti-abortion group called the Center for Medical Progress, the ones who faked their identities and snuck into Planned Parenthood meetings? And they were charging that Planned Parenthood was selling fetal tissue for profit. They were indicted in January of this year. Planned Parenthood itself, of course, was cleared of any wrongdoing. But the incident did fuel and continues to fuel calls for the defunding of Planned Parenthood. There was an article just this month in the Washington Post that addressed fears that a Trump presidency and a Republican Congress might cut more than $500 million in Planned Parenthood funding next year. The abortion battle continues to heat up. The Supreme Court is in play, and Roe v. Wade is again in the crosshairs. It was in January that Microsoft abandoned Windows 8, encouraged everybody to upgrade, download and install and upgrade to Windows 10 because Microsoft no longer offering security patches to prevent hacking on Windows 8. PC Magazine gave Windows 10 a glowing review. So did CNET and PC World and a whole bunch of others. There are critics that are kind of irritated with Windows 10 because 10 killed off some features that they liked, like Windows Media Center. Windows 10 forces the update. Like, you can't opt out of updates. Eventually, you are forced to do it. It pushes advertising. It's revealed some software and hardware incompatibility problems. And it tracks you a whole lot more closely than any other version of Windows. And that's a big privacy concern for a whole lot of people. A lot of folks out there say it's worth the upgrade. I have not yet jumped to Windows 10. I'm still using 8.1. I'm just scared. I mean, it's the compatibility problem and a little bit of the privacy problem for me. But, you know, when you're running all this production software, and I'm sure all the drivers and everything have been updated, I know, logically, I should probably take the leap. But have you upgraded to 10? And what's been your experience? And Mac people, just stop. I know. Look, I'm a Windows user. I'm a PC user. That's my sandbox, okay? Go get a Mac. Doesn't really help me at this moment. All right, I'm looking for upgrade options. Do I take the leap or do I wait? January 30th saw the confirmation that Hillary Clinton's home email server contained closely guarded government secrets, censoring 22 emails ranked highly classified. And of course, Hillary's emails played into the entire year's worth of discussions during her presidential run about her qualifications. Was she careless? Was she corrupt? The FBI cleared her of any criminal wrongdoing after a thorough review of the server and the players involved, but the email issue just stuck to her. It became this year's October surprise when it came up again. And FBI Director James Comey reopened the investigation over these newly discovered emails, most of which provided absolutely nothing new, and the FBI cleared her again. But many people said the October thing may have played into her defeat at the November ballot box. Hillary's poll numbers were declining in October, but that intensified, and they declined at a more rapid rate after the October FBI announcement. Earthquakes this year. What the hell is going on with the earthquakes? January 7th, right here in my home state of Oklahoma, 4.8, which is probably nothing to those who live on the West Coast, but to us it's kind of a big deal. They had another one on November 6th, a 5.0 in Cushing, Oklahoma. That's over 1,000 small quakes logged in 2015. They're still counting them for this year. If you want some reference for that, they had two earthquakes recorded in all of 2008. Two versus 1,000. The quakes linked, of course, to the underground disposal of wastewater and the big fracking controversy. Fracking, if you're not aware, is the process of injecting liquid at high pressure into the earth. And they use that to extract oil or gas. It has apparently helped the U.S. significantly boost our domestic oil production, and it's driven down the gas prices, which is why we're paying, around here, I think it's $1.90 a gallon per gas, but it uses huge amounts of water. There's concern about carcinogens escaping and tainting nearby groundwater, and there's significant concern about all the earthquakes. There's another problem, too. Proponents of sustainable energy say that if the fracking keeps gas and oil cheap, it might distract people and reduce their motivation to seek out more sustainable and environmentally friendly energy solutions out there. In February, North Korea successfully launched a satellite into space, according to its state-run TV news stations. Anyone else terrified by the idea of North Korea and any type of technology involving rockets? Terrifying. Of course, the United States and others immediately condemned the launch as destabilizing and provocative. By the way, destabilizing and provocative is the national motto for North Korea. Some big science news in February. The LIGO Scientific Collaboration Experiment announced the first direct observation of gravitational waves. These confirmed Einstein's theory of relativity. A team of scientists announced they'd heard and recorded the sound of two black holes colliding a billion light years away. Now, I didn't understand this any more than you do. I did a broadcast earlier this year with an astrophysicist. His name is Dan Batchelder. He just released a book called Astronomy Saves the World. And Dan joined me to talk about this and to give a deeper explanation, kind of a civilian-friendly explanation of what the hell's a gravitational wave and how do we measure it and what are the implications. And you can find that. In fact, the broadcast itself is in our archive, Astronomy Saves the World. You can find that at Blog Talk Radio or on the podcast page at thethinkingatheist.com. It's fascinating stuff and a groundbreaking scientific discovery in February of this year. Only 1 month later, astronomers used the Hubble to discover the most remote galaxy ever seen, GNZ-11. I say seen, detected. GNZ-11 formed just 400 million years after the Big Bang. February saw the U.S.-Cuba deal that restored commercial airline travel to Cuba for the first time in 50 years. Of course, Cuba's longtime president Fidel Castro just died a few weeks ago. He was 90. His brother had taken over the presidency about 8 years ago when Fidel's health declined. His death both mourned and celebrated throughout Cuba, the United States, and around the world. In the last week of February, Australian Cardinal George Pell testified in Rome at public hearings over sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. Now, Pell was called there to give evidence about his time in a Melbourne and Sydney diocese, two different locations where he served as a priest. Several of those priests are now in prison for sexual offenses. Now, George Pell is today the third most senior person in the Roman Catholic Church. He famously announced in a 2012 press conference that those who commit acts of child abuse are protected by the church's seal of confession, with no police involvement due or appropriate. Pell is far from the place of these original accusations. He's residing in Rome, and allegedly he can't return home because he has health concerns. Singer-songwriter Tim Minchin wrote a song about this whole debacle, and it's called Come Home, Cardinal Pell. And all the proceeds from that song went to a GoFundMe campaign to pay for many abuse survivors to travel to Rome so they could witness Pell's testimony in front of the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse. That song raised $55,000 for these victims on the very first day. March 9th of 2016, we had one total solar eclipse all year. It happened on this day. And an Alaska Airlines jet was in just the right place to catch a great view of the eclipse. Actually, it was a planned rendezvous. Alaska Airlines Flight 870 from Anchorage to Honolulu had on board about a dozen astronomers. And in window seat 32F, Joe Rao caught some really cool video of the eclipse. You can find it on YouTube. It's interesting. Joe Rao realized that this flight was scheduled 25 minutes too early to get a great view of the eclipse. And so, in advance of the flight, he called Alaska Airlines and he said, "Hey, psst, could you guys bump this flight for about a half an hour so I and the other astronomers and whoever could catch the event?" And Alaska Airlines said, "Cool." And they totally bumped the flight a half an hour just for him and pretty much for everybody on board. The solar eclipse lasted 1 minute 59 seconds. Alaska Airlines again making headlines in April when it announced that it was going to purchase Virgin America for $4 billion. 2016 saw the increasing rise in popularity of the self-driving car. More and more of them out there. March of this year, General Motors acquired Cruise Automation, a three-year-old software company that's been testing self-driving cars in the streets of San Francisco. San Francisco? Those are the streets that you're testing the driverless cars on? Why San Francisco? It's like a stunt course driving those streets. That's where you're doing your beta testing? It was in March that Pope Francis announced that Mother Teresa would be elevated to sainthood. And that would be made official on the 4th of September of this year. There was a first miracle. It wasn't really a miracle that had qualified her for beatification years ago. And a second miracle opened the doors for her sainthood. Now, her life and legacy is just rife with problems. She once said famously that suffering was a gift. Suffering's a gift from God, and God takes a kind of pleasure in the suffering of human beings. There were problems with poor management and abuses attached to her missionaries of charity endeavors, and the double standard she lived in her own life. She promoted humility and poverty toward others, and she jet-setted with famous people across the globe like a rock star in her own life. Christopher Hitchens wrote a book about this subject called The Missionary Position, Mother Teresa in Theory and Practice. You can learn a great deal as well through Hemley Gonzalez's work through the organization Stop the Missionaries of Charity. They've got a great Facebook page. And I reference many of the problems with Mother Teresa's life and legacy in a presentation I did a few years ago called The Mother of Bad Ideas. You can find that on YouTube. Anyway, sainthood happened for Mother Teresa in September of this year. You know, it's interesting to watch people, Catholic or otherwise, when you criticize Mother Teresa. Many of them just turn to stone. They won't hear it. They won't have the conversation. They won't abide it. They're not interested. You present facts. You show them photographs from the Missionaries of Charity location. You talk about the money from all these different sort of corrupt people like Charles Keating of the savings and loan scandal. And they just don't care. You know, for them, Mother Teresa is a kind, saintly, wonderful little grandma who said and accomplished wonderful and beautiful things. And the Catholic Church, of course, has been milking this for decades. Reported on March the 17th of 2016, radar scans of the tomb of Tutankhamun, Pharaoh of ancient Egypt, revealed two chambers adjoining the tomb itself, raising the prospect that they might have stumble upon the final resting place of Queen Nefertiti. Now, Nefertiti is perhaps second only to Cleopatra as the famous queen of ancient Egypt. The tomb is one of the most famous burial places in history. March saw the hacker group Anonymous follow through on its threat to hack into and release publicly what it claimed was the personal information of presidential candidate Donald Trump. They just hacked him, released his social, his phone numbers, agent, legal reps, much of the information like his birthday and his family members, his agent and his lawyers, etc., could pretty much already be found easily with a Google search. March 24th of this year, Republican Pat McCrory, governor of North Carolina, signed the Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act. And that act essentially blocks cities from allowing transgender people to use public bathrooms for the sex of which they identify. And it tightened other restrictions which might make discrimination against gay and transgender people easier. And the backlash was immediate. The American Civil Liberties Union issued a public rebuke. The organization Equality NC condemned it. Legendary rocker Bruce Springsteen canceled his concert in North Carolina in protest. Georgia passed House Bill 757 in March, the so-called religious freedom law, that declared businesses can deny services like counseling, wedding planning, and adoption support to LGBT people if religious people consider it an affront to their personal religious convictions. Mississippi followed suit in April. Now, remember, the U.S. Supreme Court made a landmark decision in the summer of 2015. It gave same-sex couples the right to marry nationwide. And while these, quote, religious freedom acts have been around for decades, they are seeing a resurgence, especially in many southern states. March saw three coordinated suicide bombings in Belgium, two at Brussels Airport, another at a Brussels metro station, 32 civilians killed, over 300 people injured. The perpetrators belonging to a terrorist cell that had been involved in the November 2015 attacks in Paris. It was the deadliest act of terrorism in the history of Belgium. In April, we saw another Bangladeshi blogger killed violently. Nazimuddin Samad, a secular activist in Bangladesh, he was returning from class at his university. On April the 6th, he was attacked and killed with machetes. In 2016, five secular writers and a publisher were also killed. An Islamist militant group claimed responsibility for at least some of the killings. April the 7th, the final broadcast of American Idol took place. 15 seasons on the air. The very last show of the series, April the 7th, the 2016 winner, was Trent Harmon. Never heard of him. I lasted just a few seasons of American Idol myself. The novelty kind of wore off, and I just didn't stick with it. Was it good? Was it worth it? SpaceX, an American aerospace manufacturer, headquartered in California, founded 14 years ago by the CEO of Tesla Motors and a former PayPal entrepreneur, Elon Musk. Now, SpaceX wants to reduce the cost of space transportation so, you know, all of us can get involved. And they one day want to colonize Mars. Well, on April the 8th of this year, they launched a NASA cargo run to the International Space Station, and they successfully landed its reusable booster rocket on a platform out in the ocean. And there's video of that on YouTube. It's kind of freaky. The booster rocket comes down. It's like watching a reverse video of takeoff. I mean, there's no parachute. It's not like a portion of the rocket disconnects and drifts down and splashes into the ocean. It literally is a rocket that is just reversing itself, and it just lands on this platform in the ocean. Crazy technology. Federal authorities announcing in April of this year that Goldman Sachs had engaged in deceptive practices surrounding the 2008 housing and financial collapse. The charge is this: Goldman Sachs misrepresented the quality of the loans it secured and sold for mortgage-backed securities. Goldman Sachs paying $5 billion to settle. The money will allegedly be used to help some of those who lost everything in the meltdown of 2008. It reminds me of a film I saw called The Big Short. Have you seen it? Christian Bale's in it and Ryan Gosling. And as I understand it, it's an incomplete look at the housing collapse because it didn't really address the federal government's role. The fact that many of the regulations in place allowed sort of helped to facilitate much of the collapse. But it's a fascinating film if you haven't seen it. It's hard to sell that to somebody. Hey, you ought to see The Big Short. Oh, what's it about? It's about the housing collapse of 2008. And they just look at you like, you gotta be shitting me. I'm not gonna watch that. I'm not kidding. It's a fantastic movie. May 2016, a weird month and a weird year for lightning strikes. In Bangladesh, more than 50 people killed in a two-day period in May from lightning. Farmers out working their fields, some people out playing football, others were out just collecting food. Bangladesh is prone to these electrical storms, but it's theorized that deforestation and a rise in temperatures is wreaking havoc on the weather there, and it's making things worse. On May the 16th of this year, the first ever penis transplant in the United States took place. Yeah, I know you got a visual. I know it. It's human nature. We all have a visual. This procedure performed at the Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. The patient's name is Thomas Manning of Halifax, 64 years old. His penis had been amputated 3 years earlier because of penile cancer, and he is expected to regain normal urination and normal sexual function. The procedure itself took 15 hours. Thomas Manning said he went public with his story because he wanted to sort of destigmatize the procedure and to make it more common and to get people talking. And that he certainly has done. It was May of this year that the U.S. passed legislation allowing 9/11 victims to file lawsuits for damages against Saudi Arabia for the role that it played in the September 11th attacks of 2001. Saudi Arabia protested and threatened to liquidate billions of dollars worth of American assets if the bill became law. It was vetoed by President Obama in September. Obama said the bill was misguided and it might possibly open up American government personnel and service members to lawsuits overseas. Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, met with a number of U.S. conservative leaders in May of this year over charges that Facebook is politically biased and that Facebook suppresses certain political content, perhaps slanting things in favor of one candidate or view over another. Zuckerberg said, no, there's no such conspiracy. However, Facebook has been working with fact-checking groups to help with this challenge of fake news, which we've been talking a lot about this year. Fake news, hoax news stories presented as legitimate, often written in such a way and on websites so polished, many people share them without realizing there's a problem. They see a headline and they automatically just click share and they don't bother to check it. Facebook's going to let users report potential hoaxes and use a tag message alert system, which can label a story as disputed by third-party fact-checkers. So you may occasionally see a story pop up, and there's an asterisk on it, and it says, hey, this has been disputed by someone. You might want to double-check it. Perhaps it will be helpful. Fake news, a flashpoint in the 2016 election year. Many people out there saying that fake news stories fueled the wins and the losses of presidential candidates and other candidates in lesser elections. Perhaps the most famous recent example of the problem of fake news is the story of 28-year-old Edgar Welch. He found a bogus internet story, totally bogus. He found it online, a story about a Washington, D.C. pizza restaurant that was housing a child sex ring for Washington elites. Welch walked into that restaurant on the 4th of December of this year carrying an assault rifle. He had just texted 2 days before he was going to sacrifice the lives of a few for the lives of many. He walked into the restaurant. He fired his rifle a few times. Nobody killed or wounded. And when he found no evidence of hidden rooms or child sex trafficking, he just surrendered. He'd apparently been obsessed by another fake news story on the internet, Pizzagate, that falsely linked Hillary Clinton to a child sex trafficking ring. Filtering the real news from the fake news remains a challenge for many as the new year approaches. Factcheck.org reminds everybody, check your sources. Read beyond the headline. Verify the author. Check the links that are cited. Take a look at the date of the story. Be aware of your own biases as you read the story. Check with experts and have your satire radar activated. You know, it's interesting to watch bias play into it. We're all guilty of this. It's human nature. You see something that hits your outrage nerve and aligns with your positions, and it's something you feel passionately about, and you just want to share it with everybody. Raise the alarm. Wave the red flag, you know? We're often too quick to fall for this kind of thing, so keep your eyes and ears open out there as we separate the real from the fake. Do you like jewelry? Diamonds. Oh, you probably can't afford this diamond. The Oppenheimer Blue, a huge, rare diamond sold at auction on May the 19th of this year. It sold for over $57 million. Who buys this stuff? I mean, at some point, doesn't your social conscience kick in? Like, there's starving children in the world. Somebody drops $57 million on a little rock. I just don't get it. May saw the discovery of a new species of horned dinosaur. Maceroceratops chronusi is thought to have lived about 77 million years ago. It was its fossils, rather. Its bones were discovered in Utah. We talk a lot about different Bible translations. It was in the late spring of this year that the Bible Emoji released. A digital translation of all 66 books of the King James Version of the Christian Bible, and various keywords are replaced with emojis. June saw a new right to die law implemented in California. the End of Life Option Act. It made California the fifth state in the United States to create a legal process for patients to get help in dying. California residents may now legally take medicine that ends their own lives. Interestingly, some terminally ill patients in other right-to-die areas are just satisfied to have the option. Like, they get the pills, but they don't actually take them. They just want them there in case they come to that decision. Oregon has had a similar program for 10 years. But last year, 40% of the people who actually picked up these lethal prescriptions chose not to use them. They just wanted the option. Of course, patients must be deemed mentally competent to get them, and they must have a prognosis of 6 months to live or less. Gawker Media filed for bankruptcy in June of this year after losing a big lawsuit filed by famed wrestler Hulk Hogan over a sex tape, an invasion of privacy. Gawker has since been purchased by Univision, and there was an appeal and some countersuits. It's all been settled as of November 2nd. Gawker Media and Hogan reached a settlement for $31 million. June 12th of this year saw the deadliest mass shooting and worst terror attack on U.S. soil since 9/11. It was the mass shooting at a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida. 49 people killed, 53 wounded. The gunman, Omar Mateen, had sworn allegiance to ISIS. It was in June of this year that Microsoft bought LinkedIn for $26 million. Does anybody use LinkedIn? Does anyone use it? I see it everywhere, but I don't know anybody who actually uses it. Canada made news in June of this year when the House of Commons approved a bill to make the lyrics of its national anthem gender neutral. In the song, O Canada, the phrase, "In all thy sons command," now says, "In all of us command." June was the month of Brexit, where the United Kingdom voted to leave the European Union. It was in June that the maker of Oreo cookies and Cadbury chocolates tried to buy the Hershey Company. All these sweets converging, but it didn't happen. The $23 billion takeover bid was rejected by Hershey. In July, NASA's Juno spacecraft reached Jupiter, and it entered orbit for a 5-year mission. It was in July that we saw the takeoff of the phenomenon of Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go, a free-to-play, location-based reality game where you walk around these real-world locations and you hunt these little pocket monsters. It was so popular, you could just drive around, look out your window. You could see people everywhere, their faces glued to their phones as they were walking or perhaps even running to various spots to catch these Pokemon using a GPS-driven app on their phone. The initial popularity, crazy, crazy. It was insane. But after that, Pokemon Go has seriously waned. After the July kickoff, it lost over a third of its daily users by the middle of August. By mid-September, daily revenues from Pokemon Go had plunged from 16 million a day to 2 million per day. Downloads went down from 27 million a day to about 700,000. Don't feel too sorry for Pokemon Go. It's still a significant revenue generator, but the fad appears to be over. The 7th of July of 2016, 11 police officers shot in Dallas, Texas, five of them fatally during a protest against two black men killed within a day of each other. Police killed the shooter with this bomb-defusing robot. That became a big source of controversy. It was a few days later, July the 17th, three Baton Rouge police officers would be killed, others wounded by another gunman. July the 12th, Bernie Sanders made it official that he was endorsing his former rival, Hillary Clinton, for president, and he suspended his own bid for the office. July 14th, a truck plowed into a crowd at the Bastille Day celebration in Nice, France. 86 people killed. The perpetrator, described by police as a mentally unstable man with alleged ties to Islamist radicals. In July, Fox News CEO Roger Ailes stepped down after a series of sexual harassment charges filed against him by former Fox and Friends host Gretchen Carlson. July saw the kickoff of EVO 2016, the largest video game fighting tournament in the world. Over 15,000 players on games like Street Fighter V and Super Smash Bros. For Wii and Mortal Kombat X. Is it Mortal Kombat X or 10? think it's X, and others. And speaking of video games, on the 8th of August of this year, the Royal Melbourne, I can't say Melbourne, Melbourne Institute of Technology released the results of a study. And that study correlated online video gaming with higher test scores in school, specifically in the subjects of math and science and reading. Conversely, high social media use actually saw a negative impact in those very same subjects. Coming up in just a second, our look at 2016, the year in review, continues. We're going to talk about the hugely popular and hugely controversial Netflix miniseries, Making a Murderer, chronicling the story of Stephen Avery and Brendan Dassey. Were they wrongly convicted? Was it a big setup? What the hell's going on here? We're going to talk a little bit about that. We've got some iPhone news. We've got some Yahoo hacking news. We've got some basics on the election. We've got some Star Wars on the horizon, celebrity deaths, entertainment news, and some of the weirdest stuff that happened across the planet in 2016. Our 2016 year in review continues after this. Hang on. You know, it's interesting over these past few weeks how many people have done their shopping online, but then actually drove to the post office for all the letters and packages. My friends, let 2017 be the year that you streamline, you save the time, you skip the trips, and you handle all your postage from the convenience of your own desk with Stamps.com. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do at your desk. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print postage. You can handle postage and labels for any letter or package. The mail person picks it up. If you need a special delivery, you can arrange that, no problem. You just saved how many steps and how much time with Stamps.com. I've used them myself for years for payments, for shipping books out, for miscellaneous gifts and packages for friends. It's awesome. Right now, you can get a 4-week trial and a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale, when you sign up with my promo code Seth Andrews. So don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Seth Andrews. That's Stamps.com. Enter Seth Andrews. I'm one of millions of people who got caught up in this 10-episode Netflix documentary series called Making a Murderer. That's impossible to sum everything up, and if you want to watch the series, I'm really not giving too much away. I'll just give you the basics. Stephen Avery is a guy who was wrongly convicted on rape charges, did like 18 years in prison before he was finally exonerated. So he gets out, and a murder takes place, the murder of Teresa Halbach. And he's like the last person to see her. He's accused and convicted, and he's doing prison time, a life sentence, I believe a life sentence, for her murder. And his nephew, Stephen Avery, was also convicted as an accomplice, an accessory to the murder. And so the documentary is essentially talking about the setup and how Stephen Avery could not have done this, and the hugely improper interrogation which took place with 16-year-old Brendan Dassey. And you should see the video. I mean, the interrogation video is extremely compelling when you see that they took this kid and just set him up. Now, after the series was over, of course, you know, my blood's up and I'm pounding my fist on the countertop. This is an injustice. This has to be overturned. But I calmed down and I went and I did some homework. As I understand it, there's a tremendous amount of evidence that did not make it into the documentary. Evidence that actually convicts Stephen Avery, that implicates Stephen Avery in the murder. He may not be as innocent as the show says he is. But I'm most interested, again, in Brendan Dassey, because this kid, I think, just got caught up in all this. He had no idea what was going on. He's been in prison for 10 years. Well, August of 2016 saw a federal judge order that Brendan Dassey be released from prison over being wrongly convicted. That release was then blocked by a federal appeals court just last month. Now, the producers of Making a Murderer are at this moment developing season 2, another round of episodes on this story for Netflix. It's in production now. I believe it releases in 2017. It was in August of this year that the U.S. Justice Department said it would phase out the use of privately owned prisons. It was on the 5th of August that Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump declared to the world that he wanted to block nearly all foreign Muslims from entering the United States. It was in August that Twitter announced it had deleted 235,000 Twitter accounts. Those Twitter accounts linked to terrorists and terror organizations. Bizarre story out of Norway, August 29th, a freak lightning strike killed 323 reindeer. These poor things are just out grazing in a field. Lightning strikes, boom, they're all dead. The photographs of that scene are crazy. In August, researchers from the University of Texas at Austin revealed that Lucy, our renowned hominin relative, likely died over 3 million years ago, and she died after falling out of a tree. September, a Pennsylvania judge set a trial date for comedian Bill Cosby. Cosby, accused of sexually assaulting a woman at his suburban Philadelphia home in 2004. To date, Cosby's been accused of sexual assault by over 60 women, spanning from 1964 to 2008 across the U.S. and Canada. Bill Cosby maintaining his innocence. September 7th, Apple announced the release of the iPhone 7. It has no headphone jack. Now watch the cat fight over this particular quote-unquote update. Not coincidentally, of course, iPod pitching the AirPods, their wireless earbuds. They've got a strange look about them, too. It looks like somebody just took a set of standard earbuds and just took some clippers and clipped the cord right off of them. But I guess they stick in your ears just fine and they seem to work okay. The big complaint is that they're separate pieces, no longer connected by a cord. So if you lose, say, the left ear, it'll cost you $69 to replace it. Thanks, Apple. September saw the claim by a researcher from the University of California that the sugar industry might have manipulated heart disease data. To underplay the role that sugar plays in heart disease, the study talked primarily about fats, not sugar. It omitted sugary foods from much of the discussion, according to those claims. September the 23rd, Yahoo revealed it had been hacked in 2014. Hey, wait a minute. We just found out in September it was hacked in 2014. 500 million accounts potentially compromised. Oh, it gets better. Yahoo just came forward with info about a 2013 hack involving 1 billion accounts. Now, there are 1 billion Yahoo users? With 7 billion people on Earth, 1/7 have Yahoo accounts? This doesn't sound right. The hack, the most recent hack discovered anyway, involving names, phone numbers, encrypted passwords, unencrypted security questions. Yahoo has issued instructions to immediately reset all your passwords. Critics say Yahoo has been way too slow in adopting aggressive security protocols to help prevent this kind of thing. Now, remember, the 1 billion person hack happened 3 years ago, back in 2013. Yahoo is on the block to be sold to Verizon, and Verizon might use this hacking debacle as a reason to renegotiate their deal and potentially the asking price. So keep your eye on that. October saw some interesting entertainment news. Janet Jackson announced her pregnancy in October of this year at the age of 50. Musical legend Bob Dylan won the Nobel Prize in Literature, specifically for, quote, having created new poetic expressions within the great American song tradition. In October, The Simpsons aired its 600th episode. In October, Australian paleontologists discovered a new species of dinosaur, a wide-hipped, long-necked, four-legged plant eater, about half the length of a basketball court with shoulders 10 feet off the ground. They named it Savannosaurus elitorum. It's actually named after people. Elitorum, after David and Judy Elliott of the Australian Age of Dinosaurs Museum. They were responsible for the discovery. It's estimated this particular dino lived in Australia 95 to 98 million years ago. The 8th of November, 2016, Donald Trump wins the U.S. presidential election. By Electoral College, Hillary Clinton goes on to have nearly 3 million more popular votes than the man who defeated her. Vanity Fair just released an article about a Qualtrics poll that revealed that 52%, more than half of Republicans, still think their candidate won the majority vote, the majority of individual votes from the election. On November the 28th, Trump tweeted that he lost the popular vote because millions of people voted illegally. Now, he provided no evidence to back it up, nor did his concern about massive voter fraud, right? He's making the admission that there's massive voter fraud, nor did that concern prompt him to demand an immediate recount. December saw the CIA's conclusion that Russia actively interfered in the U.S. election. In an attempt to benefit Donald Trump, Republicans responded with a mild shrug. President Barack Obama made a December 19th statement, blaming Hillary Clinton's loss on the fact that the Democrats failed to campaign in hard-hit rural areas. Filmmaker Michael Moore said he would pay GOP electors fines if the electors voted against Donald Trump, provided they were voting their conscience. December 7th of this year, Donald Trump was named by Time magazine as its person of the year. December provides yet another window into the plight of Syrian refugees as thousands continue their attempt to flee Aleppo, a city ripped apart in a political and literal battle between the president and his forces and the rebels who want to overthrow him. Aleppo has a population of over 2 million. It is Syria's industrial and financial center. December 19th, an assassination in Turkey, which resembled a scene from the film Reservoir Dogs. A man dressed in a suit and tie assassinated Russia's ambassador to Turkey, shot him 9 times in the back as the ambassador was speaking at the podium at an art exhibit. He was a police officer, 22 years old. All of a sudden, he opened his jacket, pulled out the gun, and shouted about jihad and said, "We are the ones who pledge loyalty to the Prophet Muhammad and fight jihad as long as we live. Allahu Akbar, God is great, God is greatest. Do not forget Aleppo. Do not forget Syria. Do not forget Aleppo." He was killed by his former colleagues in the police department shortly after the assassination. The execution caught on film and subsequently went viral on the internet. And of course, December saw the Berlin Christmas market attack, where a truck crashed through a crowded market, leaving 12 dead, 49 wounded. The killer, a Tunisian man. He was tracked using identity papers found in the cab of the vehicle. He was killed in a shootout with police only a few days later. His name, Anis Amri. He'd apparently been on a dangerous person's watch list in Germany, placed there as far back as March. He had a history of criminal activity in Italy, and he had pledged allegiance to ISIS. Let's lighten things up with some entertainment news, shall we? In film this year, January saw Star Wars: The Force Awakens become the highest grossing film of all time in North America. It overtook Avatar. It has grossed over $2 billion worldwide. And another Star Wars spinoff, Rogue One, of course, is on everyone's lips this month. I just saw it a few days ago. Had a great time. It's open to great reviews. Big box office, a $290 million debut weekend. That's the 12th largest movie opening of all time. Many people are saying, and this might be sacrilege to some, but many are saying Rogue One is the best Star Wars film since The Empire Strikes Back. I will let you duke that one out, okay? A very close call for Star Wars icon, television actor, film actor, and author Carrie Fisher after going into cardiac arrest on a flight from London to L.A. this past weekend. United Airlines flight crew and emergency workers at LAX immediately responded. She was rushed to the emergency room, then intensive care. Her mother, Debbie Reynolds, made a Christmas Day announcement that Carrie Fisher is in stable condition, and they will provide any updates. Carrie Fisher is 60 years old. It was on the 9th of December that American acting legend Kirk Douglas, Spartacus, turned 100 years old. He is one of the last living movie stars from Hollywood's golden age. It was this year that filmmaker Spike Lee and actress Jada Pinkett Smith boycotted the Oscars ceremony. They were protesting the fact that all the major nominees were white. The big winners at the Oscars this year, Best Picture went to Spotlight. Leonardo DiCaprio finally won his Oscar for the film The Revenant. Brie Larson for Room, Best Actress. There's a film that snuck up on me. We happened to catch it on Amazon the other day. You have to give it a chance, but really, it's just fantastic stuff. It's really well made. Supporting actor went to Mark Rylance for Bridge of Spies. Supporting actress went to Alicia Vikander for The Danish Girl. Inside Out won Best Animated Feature. Best Documentary went to Amy, a film about the life and death of singer-songwriter Amy Winehouse. Best Original Song, it was Sam Smith's The Writings on the Wall from the James Bond film Spectre. And finally, Best Director went to Alejandro Iñárritu for The Revenant. Interestingly, if you watch the Oscars this year, it was a badass action movie that took a whole lot of the other awards. Mad Max Fury Road won for costume design, editing, makeup, production design, sound editing, and sound mixing. Here's some interesting film-related news involving actor Robert De Niro. Now, Robert De Niro co-founded the Tribeca Film Festival in New York, which originally had on its lineup for this year a film called Vaxxed. From Cover-Up to Catastrophe, it's an anti-vax film. Vaxxed alleges that the CDC had potentially covered up links from vaccines to autism. The Washington Post and many others exposed the flaws in this film, starting with the debunking of the link between vaccines and autism over fraudulent or just plain false research, and that the film's director is a guy named Andrew Wakefield, a former physician who published fraudulent research and discredited claims back in 1998. He ultimately had his medical license revoked. Robert De Niro has a son who has autism. Robert De Niro watched the film Vaxxed and declared it did not contribute to or further the discussion about vaccines or autism and would not screen it at the Tribeca Film Festival in New York. And good for him. In music news, on April 23rd of this year, Beyoncé released the best-selling album of 2016 titled Lemonade. At the 59th Grammy Awards, Bruno Mars' Uptown Funk won Record of the Year. Album of the Year went to Taylor Swift's 1989. Best New Artist, Meghan Trainor. Song of the Year went to Ed Sheeran, Thinking Out Loud, Country Albums, Chris Stapleton for Traveler. Rap Album to Kendrick Lamar to Pimp a Butterfly. And Best Rock Song to Alabama Shakes, Don't Wanna Fight. In sports news for 2016, February 7th, in American football, the Denver Broncos beat the Carolina Panthers 24-10 in Super Bowl 50. Broncos outside linebacker Von Miller named Most Valuable Player. February 21st, Denny Hamlin won the 2016 Daytona 500. He won by 0.011 seconds. That's the closest margin in the history of the Daytona 500. March saw the retirement announcement by football quarterback Peyton Manning after 18 seasons in the NFL. Russian tennis superstar Maria Sharapova tested positive this past March for a banned substance called meldonium. She tested positive at the 2016 Australian Open. Maria said she'd taken the drug for 10 years previously because she had health issues, and she missed the addition of meldonium to the league's banned substances list. It was added on the first day of this year. She said she just didn't notice it. Many of her fellow tennis pros demonstrated a lack of sympathy for Maria. John McEnroe and others said they found it hard to believe this was just an honest mistake. Serena Williams encouraged tennis officials not to give Maria any special treatment. Roger Federer encouraged the Tennis Federation to do more drug screenings. Sharapova even lost her contract with Nike over this thing. Now, meldonium is a medication that increases blood flow. It's usually given to people who have angina or heart failure. The increase in blood flow, of course, makes this an attractive drug for athletes. Her punishment was a 2-year suspension from professional tennis that was reduced on October 4th of this year from 2 years to 15 months. Expect to see Maria Sharapova back on the courts in 2017. The Russian Olympic Committee appealed the ban of its track and field team from participating in the Rio Summer Olympics this year over doping charges. The Olympic Committee was going to ban the Russian track and field team outright. Eventually, ultimately, 271 of its 389 were deemed eligible to participate. The Olympics themselves saw the USA winning 121 total medals this year, 46 gold, 70 medals to China, 67 to Great Britain. A few interesting Olympic anecdotes. In judo, Israel's Or Sasson defeated Islam El-Shahabi of Egypt in judo. The Egyptian athlete then refused to shake the Israeli opponent's hand after the match. Well, that turned the crowd on him. They started booing. He got a rebuke from the International Olympic Committee, and he earned himself a quick flight back to Cairo. But here's some sportsmanship in the Olympics. New Zealand's Nikki Hamblin stumbled during the 500-meter run. American Abby D'Agostino was behind her and went down as well. Well, as D'Agostino stood up, she reached down and she offered the New Zealand athlete a hand and encouraged her to keep on. And then the American athlete fell again, her right knee injured. Hamblin stopped to assist her. Now, of course, neither won the race, but they both finished. They both won a standing ovation from the crowd. Both were given places in the final. Only Hamblin was able to participate. There was a marriage proposal between two Chinese diving athletes, and it happened at the medal podium. How romantic is this? Tin Kai got on one knee and proposed on international television to Hua Zi. And it's, I guess, a really good thing she said yes with so many people watching. Fiji had never before won an Olympic medal of any kind. Ever. And that changed in 2016 with a rugby win over Great Britain, and the entire team then broke into song. It was really something. American swimmer Katie Ledecky shaved 2 seconds off her own world record in the 800-meter freestyle. The second-place finisher in that race came in 12 seconds slower than Katie Ledecky did in the 800-meter. Jamaican sprinter Usain Bolt and swimming legend Michael Phelps capped their Olympic careers with records and adulation. Of course, this was the year everybody was talking about American swimmer Ryan Lochte and his buddies. They got caught up in a big controversy over this made-up robbery story at a Rio gas station. Well, that debacle ended up with a police investigation and a series of apologies, some very red faces. And finally, a surreal moment during the Olympic closing ceremony. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe dressed up as Super Mario. The 2020 Olympics, of course, will be held in Tokyo. It was in 2016, on April 13th, that basketball legend Kobe Bryant played his final game in the NBA. He set a new points record in that game, 60 points against the Utah Jazz. November 3rd saw the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. It's their first time at the series since 1945. It is their first win since 1908. We're going to cap the broadcast with some of the weirdest stories, just randomly pick some bizarre news from 2016. But first, we'll remember those we lost in the year 2016. This year kicked off, of course, with the news of the death of singer Natalie Cole, the daughter of music legend Nat King Cole. She actually passed away New Year's Eve of last year. It was reported on January 1st, congestive heart failure. Natalie Cole was 65. January 10th, David Bowie left us, diagnosed 18 months earlier, liver cancer. A statement on his social media pages said David Bowie died peacefully, surrounded by his family. His album Black Star had released just 2 days before he passed away in New York. His very first hit was the song Space Oddity back in 1969, a song Bowie said was inspired after he had seen Stanley Kubrick's film 2001. David Bowie co-wrote Fame with Carlos Alomar and John Lennon, which became his first American number one in the USA back in 1975. He developed the sci-fi character and persona Ziggy Stardust. And David Bowie seemed to change personas every few years. He was always reinventing himself. Inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1996, he sold over 140 million albums in his lifetime. He acted in feature films like 1986's Labyrinth, The Last Temptation of Christ, The Prestige, and even voiced a SpongeBob episode back in 2007. David Bowie dead of liver cancer at 69. On January 14th, we lost actor Alan Rickman, Hans Gruber from Die Hard, Professor Snape from the Harry Potter films. Loved Alan Rickman in Galaxy Quest. He was also in a terrific film, a 2015 movie with Helen Mirren called Eye in the Sky, which I think just released for rent. Alan Rickman suffered a minor stroke in August of 2015. This led to a diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. He died on the 4th of January of this year. Some of his fans created a memorial to him underneath the platform 9 3/4 sign at London King's Cross Railway Station. Alan Rickman was 69. January 18th, we lost Eagles co-founder Glenn Frey, the man who co-wrote Best of My Love, Lion Eyes, One of Those Nights, and Hotel California. Lead vocalist for Take It Easy and Tequila Sunrise. He died at 67 of complications from rheumatoid arthritis, acute ulcerative colitis, and pneumonia. Singer Celine Dion lost her husband, Rene, in January. He died of throat cancer. Harper Lee passed away this year on February 19th. Of course, she's the author of the 1960 Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, To Kill a Mockingbird. Former First Lady of the United States, Nancy Reagan, died on March the 6th. Congestive heart failure. She was 94. He was discovered April 21st, collapsed and unresponsive in an elevator at his Paisley Park Studios compound. Prolific pop musician Prince was found to have died from synthetic fentanyl. It's a dangerous counterfeit drug found in a mislabeled bottle inside his home. It's unclear if the manufacturer mislabeled the pills or if it was obtained illegally. Fentanyl's 50 times more potent than heroin, up to 100 times more potent than morphine. Over his career, Prince's hit library is just huge, with songs like When Doves Cry, Purple Rain, Little Red Corvette, 1999, Kiss, Raspberry Beret, Alphabet Street, Sign of the Times. Prince was his actual birth name, by the way, Prince Rogers Nelson. He was 57. On June the 3rd of this year, we lost boxing legend Muhammad Ali. He died in Phoenix of respiratory complications. He was 74. Beloved TV actor Alan Thicke just passed away on December 13th. He's best known for playing the sitcom dad on Growing Pains. He was out playing ice hockey with his son, just collapsed and died shortly afterward of a heart attack. Mrs. Brady of the Brady Bunch, Florence Henderson, she died November 24th of heart failure. She was 82. Actress Patty Duke died March 29th at 69. Country music legend Merle Haggard passed away April 6th. He was 79. Comedian Gary Shandling of a massive heart attack March 24th. He was 66. We lost Gene Wilder this year of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. He'd played so many great comedy roles over the decades, including the iconic Dr. Frankenstein in Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein. He died of complications from Alzheimer's on August 29th. He was 83 years old. November 7th, we lost Leonard Cohen, singer, songwriter, musician, poet, novelist, painter, a true Renaissance man. Leonard Cohen gone at the age of 82. Actor Abe Vigoda of Barney Miller died January 26th of this year at 94. We lost Doris Roberts of Everybody Loves Raymond and a decades-long career. 90 years old, passed away in her sleep. Frank Sinatra Jr. in March at 72. Pat Conroy, author of The Prince of Tides and The Great Santini. He passed away on March the 4th. Keith Emerson, co-founder of Emerson, Lake & Palmer. He died March the 10th at 71. Former U.S. Attorney General Janet Reno died of Parkinson's on November the 7th. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, often referred to as the most conservative justice on the Supreme Court, found dead in his room during a hunting trip with friends on February the 13th. He was 79. Female world wrestler Chyna was found dead at her home in Redondo Beach, California, on the 20th of April of this year. Accidental drug overdose, Valium and Ambien. She was 45. Actor Anton Yelchin. He gained global fame by recreating the iconic character of Pavel Chekhov in the new Star Trek movies. He was killed in a freak accident on June the 19th. His own car rolled backwards down a hill and pinned him against a wall. He died at the age of 27. Miss Cleo, the famous psychic from the 90s, she died this year on July 26. She was 53. Actress Zsa Zsa Gabor passed away just a few days ago, December the 18th. She was 99. Golfing legend Arnold Palmer passed away in September. He's generally regarded as one of the greatest players in the history of golf ever. He was 87. We lost Eric Bowersfield in 2016. You don't know his face, but you might know his voice. He was the voice of Star Wars Admiral Akbar, who uttered the iconic line, "It's a trap." Yeah, that was him. He was 93 years old. Another Star Wars icon left us in 2016, the man inside the droid, Kenny Baker, who played R2-D2. He passed away August 13th at the age of 81. Grizzly Adams died this year. Dan Haggerty, spinal cancer in January. He was 74. Astronaut John Glenn, the first American to orbit the Earth. He went on to become a Democratic senator from Ohio. He served four terms in office. He once even ran for president of the United States. And he returned to space 36 years after his Mercury flight on October the 29th, 1998, went back up into space as part of the Discovery shuttle crew. At 77, John Glenn became the oldest person ever to go into space. He died December the 8th of this year. He was 95 years old. A surprising and sad Christmas Day announcement that pop superstar George Michael had died. His long and successful career began in the 80s as a member of Wham! Before becoming a solo artist sensation. Fellow artists and fans across the planet poured out their support at the news of his death. His manager said he died of heart failure at his home. George Michael was 53. In our final segment, we're going to talk about technology, some of the biggest tech triumphs and fails over the last 12 months, and weird news, just some bizarre, crazy stuff that happened across the globe in the year 2016. Prepare yourself for the insanity of humanity. That's coming up next. Don't forget, my supporters on Patreon get a completely commercial-free version of this broadcast, and they get a bonus show at the end of every month starting in January. And if you want to become a patron, you can log on to patreon.com/Seth Andrews. And thanks for your support. Also want to say thanks out to Rhonda Dorrell. Rhonda Dorrell has joined the Thinking Atheist team. Thanks to you and your support and the support of my sponsors, I've been able to bring her on, and she's done a tremendous amount of work to help to prepare our 2016 Year in Review broadcast. Did a lot of great research to help me out, and huge thanks out to Rhonda for that. Technology news for 2016, you know, when it comes to the environment, we always seem to be talking about the problem of plastics. Among the most difficult plastic to decompose is polyethylene. It's used for plastic containers, water bottles, etc. It's what Walter White used to dissolve human bodies in Breaking Bad. Tens of millions of metric tons of this stuff ends up in landfills. It's a real problem. However, there are two researchers in Japan. They've apparently identified a bacterium that eats polyethylene. It just eats it like a little snack and breaks it right down. Testing on this is underway. Scientists at the University of Cambridge published an article for the National Academy of Sciences claiming they figured out how to build a motor that's 1 million times smaller than the body of an ant. Something about binding gold particles in a certain way and then causing those particles to snap apart creates a motor. Whatever. Not only are the machines taking over, they are becoming impossible to see with the naked eye. More proof that the machines are taking over, MIT just posted an article saying within 3 to 5 years, robots will be able to share knowledge and teach each other basic information and how to do basic tasks. Artificial intelligence continues its march forward. Google Home and Amazon's Echo are virtual assistants. You've probably seen the commercials on television. These things are supposed to help us with basic information just by asking. Now, the reviews of these virtual assistants are not great. Many of them are failing at obvious tasks, like giving map directions or ordering takeout food. Samsung took some heat in 2016, literally, over the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 smartphone overheating, in many instances, over 100 of them, spontaneously bursting into flames after a battery problem. 1 million phones recalled by Samsung. Speaking of cell phones, eyes are already on the next generation of cell phone networks, 5G. And when that becomes standard, it will apparently be 100 times faster than today's 4G networks. This was the year of the Snapchat filter. If you haven't seen Snapchat, it's hard for me to describe it. Just download it or look it up. But using Snapchat filters, you can take video of your face and transform yourself into a host of various characters in real time. Snapchat had a banner year. Vine, on the other hand, was not so fortunate. Vine is another app once hugely popular. It announced in October it was going to shut down for good. Vine is populated, or was populated, with 6-second user-uploaded videos. It was the year of live streaming video, Twitter's Periscope and Facebook Live increasingly popular. Periscope reported the equivalent of 110 years worth of live video consumed every day on its mobile apps. Facebook Live videos reportedly viewed 8 billion times a day. This was the year that the FBI publicly sued Apple, wanting to hack an iPhone that was used by a former terrorist. And they said, Apple, you need to give us the secret to your technology so we can do so. And Apple essentially said, hell no, and piss off, saying that facilitating the hack would betray digital privacy assurances they'd made to their customers. The FBI eventually backed down and then hacked the phone on its own. How's this for technology? If you're a skier, but you worry about safety, well, you can pick up the Smart Ski Airbag Vest. When you fall, the vest inflates to protect your hips, your back, and internal organs. The cost, $1,200. I saw something recently as well. It's an airbag bicycle helmet. And so if you're in a bicycle accident, as you fall, the entire airbag inflates, encompassing your head. It's very surreal, but also very cool. In May of this year, Dubai opened the world's first functioning 3D printed office. The printing material was a special mixture of cement made just for the occasion. It's a one-story office. The printer itself used to make the room. The printer itself was 20 feet by 120 feet by 40 feet. The printing took 17 days. And the cost was about $140,000. You know, they keep saying virtual reality is coming. More accurately, virtual reality is creeping. It's moving forward, but it's doing so very slowly. Expect to see many more of these virtual reality headsets in the months and years ahead. PlayStation 4, of course, unveiling a virtual reality platform for the PS4. Finally, imagine a television that you could roll up like a newspaper. Well, this year, LG debuted its OLED rollable television. It is wild technology. It reminds me of the newspapers in the Harry Potter films, you know, where they have these flat pieces of paper and they're moving images on them. It leads to a host of possibilities. I mean, imagine rolling up your TV like you would a piece of paper. You just pop it in a backpack or wherever, and you can take it with you wherever you go. The era of slim digital televisions just got a whole lot slimmer. And finally, the weirdest news. Well, a taste of some of the weirdest news of 2016. Of course, this was the year of creepy clown sightings. The phenomenon was even given a name, clowning, where scary clowns just stare and stalk and generally creep people out in public. It's become such an epidemic. The website Atlas Obscura has launched an interactive national map to help you track creepy clown sightings across the USA. Many of the reports turning out to be bogus, by the way. Snopes has published several articles debunking evil clown reports that were spawned, many of them spawned by fake news sites. One bogus story out there that was shared I don't know how many times involved the murder of 18 people inside a haunted house by a clown. Of course, that never happened. February. Some advice for the guy who allegedly stole 75 bucks out of a vendor booth at the Funway Amusement Arcade just west of Chicago. The next time, you might consider wearing a mask, especially considering that you were robbing a photo booth. Police did not require a sketch artist to find him. December 10th, David Grigsby and Robert Bourne were discussing their master plan. A robbery of Brothers Barbecue in Danville, Kentucky. They sat in their car and they worked out the details. The problem was, one of them accidentally butt-dialed 911. The emergency function on their phone connected to a 911 dispatcher who was just listening in to the entire conversation and then contacted the Danville police chief, Tony Gray, who, and I am not kidding, who happened to be eating inside the restaurant at Brothers Barbecue. He was right inside the door of the place they were about to rob. The men promptly arrested. They'd had a lot to drink. Both of them charged with disorderly conduct and public intoxication. Here's another thwarted robbery. A carjacking that was attempted in July in Shreveport, Louisiana, at the Oasis Car Wash. The would-be carjackers learned a valuable lesson that day, courtesy of the car's owner, Michael Davis. And the lesson is, don't try to carjack somebody who is brandishing a high-pressure wand. Both men were sent fleeing. They walked away with nothing. A Canadian police department has a weird preventative against drunk driving. The Kensington Police Service says if you're caught driving drunk and they put you in the back of one of their squad cars as you drive to the station, you will be forced to listen to Nickelback. Would you like some coffee that'll take the edge off? The San Diego company called Brew Buds has debuted the single-serving coffee pod that also holds cannabis. Each cup has between 10 and 50 milligrams of the marijuana chemical THC, plus a jolt of West Coast roast coffee. And the pods aren't really all that cheap. They're $7 a pod, but they do fit Keurig coffee brewers. You can expect them first in Nevada and Colorado over the next few months, and then Washington, Oregon, and California to follow. A 28-year-old South African man could probably use something to calm his nerves. In November, he endured a case of penile strangulation. Now, stick with me, okay? Allow me to elaborate. He had squeezed his own wedding ring around his penis in an attempt to heighten sexual response. The penis was not happy about this, and it began to swell. 4 hours later, he's at the emergency room, driven there by his mother. They couldn't get the ring off with a saw because, well, there was so much swelling, they were damaging his organ. So they used a needle to relieve the swelling and finally were able to slip the ring off. And yes, there are photographs. Take a moment and recover after that one. Imagine you're on an airplane. You're trying to relax. You're trying to get to your destination, and you look up and you see something above you. You can't quite make out what it is until you realize a snake is crawling out of the overhead bin above you. What would you do? Well, it happened. It happened on an Aeromexico flight bound for Mexico City last month. The flight landed without incident. The reptile was secured. For the record, there was no sign of Samuel L. Jackson. Snakes on a plane. You ever see the movie? Skip it. It's crap. You know, we've all been frustrated with the election season. Probably not quite as frustrated as Christina Ferguson of Amherst Junction, Wisconsin. She stormed into a meeting that she thought was attended by a bunch of Trump supporters. She was holding something in her hand. She was holding a jar of Jif peanut butter. Well, she was escorted out, and afterward, she loitered in the parking lot and then smeared 30 cars with Jif peanut butter. Now, it turns out this was not a meeting of Trump supporters. To add insult to injury, she got the group wrong. It was a local conservation and outdoor preservation club. She was picked up by the cops and charged with disorderly conduct. A 38-year-old woman was arrested in Springwood, Australia. In November, cops pulled her over about 3 in the morning. They were suspicious that the drunk driver had perhaps driven through someone's backyard. Now, why did they suspect this? Because the woman had a children's swing set wedged around her SUV. She'd apparently just driven through the thing, and it wedged onto her car, and she'd been driving around town with her SUV wearing the swing set like a hat. A Canadian man was caught smuggling in February of this year. He was trying to bring a controlled substance from the United States across the border. No, it wasn't drugs. It was turtles. 38 turtles in plastic bags taped to his legs. Imagine the look on the faces of firefighters in Knoxville, Tennessee this past summer when they were called to a woman's home to control a runaway fire. The fire was in her bathtub. Apparently, the woman had been attempting to barbecue a brisket in her tub. The firefighters called. Apparently, they were able to leave the hoses on the truck. They just turned on the shower. January of this year, Donald Pugh of Ohio had been arrested for drunk driving. He failed to appear in court, and he's a suspect in a couple of other crimes. So there's a warrant, several warrants out for his arrest. Well, wherever he is, he apparently hated how his mugshot looked on the police department website. So, Donald took a selfie with his cell phone and mailed it to the cops. The police have issued a statement that said this: "We thank him for being helpful, but now we would appreciate it if he would come speak to us at the LPD about his charges." In October of this year, Indonesia police arrested a guy suspected of hacking into a popular electronic billboard by a very busy street in Jakarta. He replaced the advertising on the billboard with porn. And finally, November 29th, 2016 saw the birthday of what is thought to be the planet's oldest person. Emma Murano of Italy swears by her diet as one of the explanations for her longevity, a diet that includes 2 raw eggs every single day. She was born in 1899. She was born 4 years before the Wright brothers flew. Her life has spanned 3 centuries and 2 world wars. And she marked the occasion in November of 2016 with a great big white birthday cake. Emma Murano is 117 years old. And that's just a small taste of some of the weirdest stuff from 2016. Thank you so much for listening to our Year in Review broadcast. Have a wonderful, safe, and happy new year. And I'll see you back here next Tuesday as we kick off 2017 together. Take care. I'll see you soon.
Follow The Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter. Watch dozens of original videos on The Thinking Atheist YouTube channel. And visit our website for resources, links, contact information, the editor's blog, and more. TheThinkingAtheist.com.